Who wrote the Bible? Who compiled it? And can we trust what is found in the Word of God? Well, today on Wonders Without Number, we'll be looking at some of the remarkable history about how this Bible came to be. Science is full of evidence for design, but even still, we must have faith that what we read in God's Word is true. Now, the belief of evolution, based on unseen hypotheses, requires a tremendous amount of faith in chance. Now, at this time, let's meet our guest. My friend Rusty Maisel is an authority on ancient manuscripts and printed editions of the Bible. Now, he's the author of several books on Christian history, and the curator of the Enduring Word Museum, which is quite an amazing exhibit that he travels with. We're going to be seeing just a few of those artifacts and manuscripts in the studio here today. So, who wrote the Bible? Who compiled it? And can we trust what is found in the Word of God? So at this time, please join me in welcoming my good friend, Rusty Maisel. Welcome to Wonders Without Number.
It's good to be here.
Thank you for being here so much. Tell me just a little bit about the Enduring Word Traveling Museum.
Well, across the years, we have collected a number of artifacts related to the transmission of the text of Scripture. And we travel around, my wife and I, and we also have some other folks sometimes that go with us, around the United States and even into other countries, where we have the background of the artifacts as a museum exhibit, but we teach on the history of the writings that have come down to us to be the Bible today.
Excellent, excellent. So it's a teaching tool using things like a full-size Gutenberg press
and all
of these other things.
Right.
But as a result, you get to tell people about the history of the Bible.
Yes,
excellent.
That's right. You know, the artifacts are really just teaching tools. What we want people to do is interact with the story of how we got the Bible.
Well, and that's what we want to do here today, this morning. We want to look at some of the manuscripts that sort of led up to printed editions. We're going to be looking at several more episodes with you on the history of the Bible as it relates to Gutenberg, the printing press, the persecution that many people went through so that we could hold the Bibles in our hands today, and many, many other subjects. But today, we want to talk about manuscripts.
Yes. Well, you know that the Bible really is a number of different books that were written down over a 1,500-year time period, or maybe possibly a little more, and that they were not brought together all at one time. But when we say manuscript, what are we talking about? People always want to talk about the original manuscripts, and most folks don't even understand that what we're talking about with manuscripts is something that is handwritten.
Handwritten.
Manually scribed.
Ah, okay.
You see, that's what a manuscript is. Handwritten copies before the invention of printing. And for most of the time prior in history, everything, all information, if you wanted to transfer information, it had to be handwritten.
So what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at from very early history all the way up to, when was the printing press?
1450 approximately.
1450, which is
AD,
not that long.
AD,
which is not that long ago,
right.
In relative terms. So.
Yes, sir. Yep.
Okay.
Inspiration is something that scholars like to define. There are hundreds, maybe thousands of books that define the idea of God's inspiration. My idea of inspiration, yes, I like the scholarly ideas too, but I have a more simple, really non-scholarly definition of inspiration, and it's this, that the Creator, before he made anything, before he caused any prophet or apostle to write down anything, he knew you and me.
That's right.
And he knew what our lives were going to be, and he was interested in us personally. And he also knew the next Bible you're going to pick up.
It's true.
Maybe not even your own. And he was going to know that you where you would open it and read it. And because I really believe he inspired the original writers to write down what he wanted you to know, what would be best for your life, and that would draw you to him, and each of us to him, in a way that he followed that text down to the very Bibles we have today. I'm not saying secondary inspiration by the translators, but I'm saying that God was involved in the process all the way from the most ancient times to the Bibles, the very specific Bibles we read today. I know that's not so scholarly, but I really believe in a loving God who mm-hmm. wants a loving relationship with us.
Yes, sir.
And has created this book that we call the Bible, caused men to do this in a way to draw us to him.
Absolutely. And I think in a little bit later in the program, we'll be talking about how we got the books.
Oh, yes. Let's do that. Yeah. Okay, of course. So, first, holy men, or men that would listen to God, that he chose, would write down all the various many books that there are. Then they were passed on by other believers.
Okay.
And copied many times.
Again, handwritten.
Right, handwritten.
Everything we're looking at today.
The oldest known scripture in the world today are two silver scrolls found high in the Gehenna Valley in a tomb that was opened up just a few years ago. And there are silver scrolls that look like this. This is a photograph of one of them.
Oh, yeah.
And on those are the Aaronic blessing. Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yeah. The interesting thing about these is from that most ancient time, which was about the time of Solomon or the kings that followed him, they're word for word without a single variation.
You're listening to Wonders Without Number with David Reeves. The message presented today was filmed in studio at David Reeves Ministries Wonders of Creation Center and is available in video format with powerful accompanying visuals. Subscribe to our Genesis Plus package online to get instant access to the video format of this message and hundreds of others right on your computer or mobile device. If you are encouraged by this message and would like to be a part of sharing this information with millions across the globe, we would love to hear from you. Give us a call at 931-212-7990 or write us at David Reeves Ministries, Post Office Box 2824, Lewisburg, Tennessee 37091. Visit our website, davidreeves.com, today. That's davidreeves.com. And now, back to Wonders Without Number with David Reeves.
So you're saying we can trace this back to around the time of King Solomon, and yet we can open up our Bibles today to that very passage, and it's word for word the same.
Right. Now, Jesus said these words were Moses. Mm-hmm. were written by Moses. He called them the words of Moses.
Yes.
And he said, if you don't believe the words of Moses, you won't believe my words. And in that very same context, his words are called the words of life. So if you don't believe that Moses wrote these, and you don't believe that these early stories were true, written by Moses, mm-hmm. then you won't believe the words of life of Jesus Christ. And I found that to be true. People who don't believe one don't believe the other.
That's exactly right.
They want to question the other. It's a matter of life and death, though.
Well, and, you know, in creation ministry, talking about science and the Bible, we do use that passage a lot because many people today say that, you know, Moses did not really write these first five books. You can't believe these as literal history, many allegories, the Genesis account of creation and all of that. But Jesus himself said that if you can't believe what Moses wrote in these books and that he did write this, then you can't believe what he said, what Jesus
said. That's right.
So that's very powerful.
A difference between a scroll and a codex is a codex is written on both sides of the paper and it can be sewn down. Look how sewn down the side. This is much easier to store. If this scroll right here has quite a few animal skins in it, this is written in paper.
Okay.
How long would it take you to write a column here or a page like that? You see, that would take you maybe quite a few hours to do that.
Sure.
Scribes down through history were wealthy men. They worked for kings and generals and were paid well to do the writing. So writing was very expensive. If you have information, you have power. And there's a great deal of power here. If
yes.
You shall know the truth and the truth will set you free.
Set you free.
These are original languages, and I should point out this one here.
Okay.
This is a Greek manuscript on papyrus.
Okay, so we did just look at a piece of manuscript on papyrus or some sort of a...
Right. This is Hebrew.
Fragment.
This is both Hebrew and Aramaic. It has an Aramaic commentary in it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but it does have Bible in it. This has actually part... This has several books. This is the Megillus. But these things came down to us very carefully copied. We also have Greek manuscripts like the one we saw.
Yes.
This is on papyrus, a different writing material, very expensive as well. And this is not biblical, this particular one, but this looks, we're holding it up because this is what a lot of the Dead Sea Scrolls look like. We think of great big scrolls, and some of them are. Some of the scrolls of the 19,000 some odd fragments of the Dead Sea Scrolls. Some of those are just complete, and some of them are small fragments like this. However, when they're put together and read, they show us how little variation there is across the years of all the writings we have of the Old Testament. And we have many thousands of scroll fragments, and we have many thousands of New Testament fragments, all that support the text of the Bible. There are so few, people think there's lots of mistakes. We shouldn't be talking about the mistakes. We should be talking about how much they are all alike.
Right, because they are so very similar with very few mistakes, very few differences throughout the ages, especially considering that they were copied and recopied so many times.
I'm not certain there are any mistakes there.
Wow.
I believe in a God that pays attention to how he communicates with us.
Mm-hmm.
If we'll just listen. We need to. And when we read these books we call the Bible, we really are reading the Word of God in such a way that he will meet us there on a personal basis.
That's right. Now, so far we've been talking about original language manuscripts.
Yes,
Greek,
right.
Hebrew, Aramaic.
This is a drawing of what someone thought Jerome might have looked like.
Okay.
Jerome gave us one of the most important translations of the Bible, the Latin translation.
Okay.
It was the Bible for several centuries, the official Bible of the Roman Church. But it was worldwide, and it was the most widely published Bible for several centuries.
Hmm.
And Jerome is a translator. It's not a bad translation. I think there's a couple of words in it here and there that are unfortunate.
Yeah.
But a translation is a commentary. It tells us what the translator thought that the original language meant.
So in other words, you take any of these Hebrew words on this page, and
right,
many of them could have multiple meanings.
Of course.
And so basically any sort of translation of that into a different language of necessity requires some interpretation of what the original writers meant.
That's right. Now, I really don't think that most translators are trying to destroy the Word of God.
Okay.
I think everybody is trying to communicate
yeah.
as best they understand it. And many of the people who do translations, of course, are great scholars, are great linguists, and they're trying to bring out God's message to mankind.
Yes, sir.
And that's why it's been the most translated and the most published book of all times. It is still the most widely published, most widely distributed, and most widely read book in the world today.
The best-selling book of all times right here.
Right.
So, you've got Jerome.
Right.
Writing in Latin, translating
right.
the Bible into
well,
Latin.
Here, what do you have here? Here's a Latin manuscript.
Okay.
Wait a second. You say this little book was handwritten? Written. There are many bigger ones than this. This is a pocket Bible from the 1300s.
Wow.
This is, let's get it right side up here, okay. Look at this. And the beautiful artwork
oh,
that's
yeah.
in here. Let's find a page.
Let's hold
oh,
it up
look
for
at
the
that.
Camera.
Now, can you imagine sitting and writing like that for several years?
Just to produce
now,
this one
Bible.
Now, if
you were
Bible.
A person in medieval times mm-hmm. who could read and write, you could make a good living.
Okay.
Somebody who could make a good living spent several years to write this little Bible.
Just for one Bible.
Just for one Bible.
So we're talking about manuscripts here.
Yes,
manually
sir.
Scribed.
Handwritten. Handwritten.
That's really neat there.
Let me show you another translation that I think is really good. It's the Ethiopian translation.
Okay. This is it right here.
This is it. This is the 23rd Psalm. It says, because God is my shepherd, I don't need anything. Pretty much what the King James Bible says.
It is.
You know?
Very, very literal there.
So this was an important early translation as well.
Okay.
And you see, scribes may have been in the church, or they may have been secular.
Okay.
Down through the centuries, though, they were very careful with the text. And I really believe that the Bible we have today is the true, accurate, and reliable Word of God.
What about John Wycliffe?
John Wycliffe is the first person to translate the Bible into the English language. He used a Latin Vulgate like this, Jerome's translation, which was the main Bible and the only one that he had. He didn't have Hebrew and Greek manuscripts.
Okay.
He translated into English that you and I can read if we study just a little bit. But he was greatly opposed. The church and wealthy did not really want the common man to have the information in the Bible.
You said information is power.
Information is power,
okay.
And that's the reason. They dug up his bones, burned them, and then threw them into the river.
Mm, wow.
And so this is a picture from Fox's Book of Martyrs. John Wycliffe died of natural causes, but his Bible created such a stir in England that he had enemies 40 years later. But here's small portion of what was handwritten
okay.
of John Wycliffe's Bible. And you see right here, here's the beginning of a chapter.
Yeah.
This blue O up there is the first letter. That's an O-U-R-E, F-A-D-I-R, our Father.
Huh.
Not Pater Noster.
Right.
This is English. Our Father that art in heavenest, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come to thee, be thy will done in earth as in heaven.
This was the wow. very first time that native English speakers could read in their own language.
Yes. Can you imagine reading that for the first time in the language that your mother, that you learned from your mother? You see, our heart language
yes.
Is always the best one to read in. So, let's talk just a bit about who decided and when we got the list of the books of the Bible.
The canon.
The canon, it's called the canon of Scripture.
Okay.
It was not determined extremely early. All the writings were there. Of course, the Old Testament was all there by the time of Jesus. And he quoted from every book in of the Old Testament.
Okay.
The apocryphal books that are the 14 books in the Roman Catholic Bible that are not found in the Protestant Bible were also there. And he actually quoted a couple of times from those, but he didn't say it is written.
Okay.
But soon after the time, actually within a few years after the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his followers began to write. Apostles and people associated with them wrote these other books that we call the New Testament.
Okay.
But there were hundreds of other books. I've listed over 400 in one of my papers on it, of other books written about Jesus and about Old Testament times. And but Jesus said, "My sheep will know my voice." And that is the spiritual reason that kind of ties together the books that we all agree upon. Some people have rejected all or most of the other books down through the centuries. Folks like you and I, when we got the Gospel of John, say, we would read it and say, "Wow, I've got to make a copy of that, no matter how much it cost." But then we'd read the Gospel of Thomas and say, "That doesn't sound like Jesus to me. Jesus says in that, I need to make Mary a man because women aren't worthy of salvation."
Oh,
wow. So I'm gonna put that back on the shelf. I know that Jesus didn't say that.
In other words, you could recognize.
So the spiritual reason is, Jesus said, we're going to recognize his voice in the writings.
But those 66 books are recognized by nearly all the different groups. All the Protestants, the Roman Catholic Church would agree with those 66
now,
books, the Orthodox, the Ethiopians, even the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses would agree on the 66 books that we have here.
Right. We could talk about the councils and when the Roman Catholic Church actually got their official list of books.
Yes.
But Protestants don't have an official authoritative list. What we have is a list of books that we have discovered to be authoritative.
Excellent. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to have you back and talk about the Gutenberg Press and many other subjects.
Thank you.
The Bible, as we've seen today, is the enduring Word of God. It's been passed down through history with amazing accuracy, and it can be trusted from Genesis to Revelation. You know, just as the creation account that we read in Genesis is the true, literal, historical account of the beginning of the world, the truth and reality of God's Son, Jesus Christ, being sent to earth is the most significant event that has taken place in the history of mankind. You know, He died for our sins, and He offers eternal life for those who repent and call on His name. Won't you be a part of His family today? I'm David Reeves, and until our next time on Wonders Without Number, keep looking up. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God. Hello, I'm David Reeves, host of the television show Creation in the 21st Century on TBN, and author of the book Wonders Without Number. When we look at science from a biblical perspective, remarkable things are revealed. Belief in the historical account of creation as found in the book of Genesis reveals much about the meaning of life and gives reason for our existence. Where did all the matter in the universe come from? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Visit our website and sign up for our email updates to receive links to free videos dealing with science, astronomy, creation, and the Bible. Give us a call to find out more about David Reeves Ministries or to order additional copies of this DVD and our other great resources. Like us on Facebook and drop us a line on how this program has impacted your life. I'm David Reeves. Truly, the heavens declare the glory of God.